Welcome to the Fit and Fulfilled podcast. My name is Kushboo and I am your host. I am a mind-body manifesting coach and founder of the wellness consulting business, K-Way. I am committed to helping you tap into the infinite power you hold when it comes to intentionally creating a more abundant life that gets you jumping out of bed with so much excitement. Over here, we chat about all things mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health to help you constantly manifest bigger and better for yourself. Grab a cup of coffee, bottle of kombucha, or a glass of wine, and let's chat. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Fit and Fulfilled podcast. My name is Kushboo, and I am your host on this podcast. We chat about all things mindset, manifestation, and personal development. And the whole crux of the show is for you to realize how freaking powerful you are when it comes to creating the life that you desire, the life that gets you jump out of bed, the life that really makes you think, holy hell, how am I living this awesome life? I'm just so freaking grateful for it. And realizing that the only block that's in your way is you. And the beauty is because you're the only one stopping you from experiencing the outcomes you want, you have full control over changing it. And on today's podcast episode, I wanted to talk about something which has been coming up a lot lately, and I've been having conversations around in this past week. I've had so many calls with people who applied for my group coaching program, the Master Your Manifestations Accelerator, and there was a theme that was coming up, and that was ending the urge to self-sabotage. And I thought it was so necessary I record a podcast episode on this, is because a lot of times when we aren't able to experience the outcomes we want, when we're not able to create the life that we want, it's because on some level we are holding ourselves back. And here's the thing, is that no one is going to intentionally sabotage themselves, but we end up doing it so much. Some ways we do so massively, and in other ways, in other micro moments of our lives, we sabotage ourselves. And over time, those micro moments of self-sabotage add up. And here's the thing, is that unless you're my best friend or a client of mine who is actually paying me to identify and work through your blocks, it's not my place to highlight when I notice someone is self-sabotaging. But the thing is that we all have our blind spots. And like I said, none of us are intentionally self-sabotaging. And even for me as a coach, I might be coaching people on a daily basis and I could, you know, share all the theory in the world. But when it comes to my own life, I have my own blind spots. And that's why I have my own coaches, because sometimes we cannot see our own blind spots and the way we are self-sabotaging ourselves. And so, you know, before we dive into the different ways in which we self-sabotage, and more importantly, why we actually self-sabotage and how we can actually break that cycle, I thought it's fitting that I actually share the dictionary definition of what self-sabotage really is. So I'm just going to read it out. The term self-sabotage is used when this destructive behavior is directed at yourself. At first, you may not even notice that you're doing it. But when negative habits consistently undermine your efforts, they can be considered as a form of psychological self-harm. And the thing is that no one is immune to self-sabotage, because self-sabotaging behaviors is our brain's way of protecting us. It's our brain's way of keeping us safe and comfortable, because our brain's main mechanism is to protect us from any form of discomfort. And so when we are venturing into new territory, there is a risk for failure. There is a risk for potential discomfort. And so as a way to prevent that from happening, our brain triggers some kind of behavior to hold us back from moving forward and potentially moving forward in the direction that we actually want to go. And through that self-sabotaging behavior of repeating our behaviors that we've always done, it keeps us in familiar territory. And when we are used to a certain level of joy or abundance, you'll find that once you get to that level, you'll do something to stop you from experiencing even more. And until you are aware of that, it's going to keep holding you back. And the thing with self-sabotage is that it's a vicious cycle. It stems from a belief system. So for most people, it's a low self-confidence.
And then because you let yourself down through that self-sabotaging behavior, it chips away at your confidence. And then that lower self-confidence triggers even more self-sabotage behavior. And it just goes on and on. And ultimately, when it comes to understanding why we self-sabotage, it's really about knowing that every action we take, every thought that we have, every feeling that we experience is nothing more than a manifestation of our underlying subconscious beliefs and fear and fears. And when it comes to manifestation, when it comes to creating the outcomes that we want, our subconscious mind is the one that is in charge. And that's why we have to make sure that our subconscious beliefs are in alignment with the outcomes we are trying to create. Because when there is a misalignment, the subconscious mind, the subconscious beliefs that you are holding onto, the fears that you are still harboring, those will always trump. They will always win. And like I said, is that when you are aware of the self-sabotaging behaviors that you are doing, you can assess how you want to proceed and really ask yourself, what is the cost of engaging in this behavior? And, you know, like I mentioned, is that our self-sabotaging behaviors are a manifestation of the subconscious beliefs that we're holding on to. And again, a lot of those subconscious beliefs stem in something along the lines of, I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, I don't trust in, whether it's trusting myself or in a power greater than me, I don't believe in myself, I don't believe in my potential to change. And so when we are harboring onto these disempowering, limiting beliefs, it's just going to trigger behaviors that are in alignment with that. And like I said, there are various ways in which we are self-sabotaging. And I wanted to highlight a few that came to mind as I was just making notes for this podcast episode. The first one and the biggest one that on some level, I think we can all identify with is, at least at some stage in our journey, is procrastination and not acting on ideas. And it's so easy to create a sense of identity around this and say, oh, I've always been someone who puts off things to the last minute. Oh, I always procrastinate. But A, when you create an identity over self-sabotaging behavior, you're only giving yourself permission slip to keep recreating more of the same behavior that really is not serving you. But secondly, when it comes to procrastination, is why are we procrastinating? If we, in our hearts, if we knew that we were capable of achieving the success that we wanted, if we knew that task at hand that we were about to embark on, if we knew that we were going to be successful, and if we believed that we were really worthy and deserving of the outcomes that would come from taking that action, we would not procrastinate. And so when we are finding the urge to put things off the last minute, it is because we don't feel worthy of the success that we could achieve by taking on that action. It is because there's a part of us that feels we're going to fail. And so really allowing ourselves to tap into that and say, okay, well, what is the story I need to tell myself in order to, for my subconscious mind to trigger the behaviors to help me move forward? Another way in which we self-sabotage is through inconsistent actions. And so let's say that you want to lose weight. Is that okay? You'll find that some days you eat healthy, other days you find reasons not to eat healthy. And it's okay, well, at the end of the day, if you want to create results, you want to create momentum in the direction you want to go, it starts with consistency. And so if you are allowing yourself to, again, hold on to that identity that I'm just inconsistent, I've always been this way, that inconsistency is exactly why you're not going to get the results that you want. Even negative self-talk, wow, that is a huge way in which we self-sabotage, because the story we tell ourselves, the way we describe ourselves, is ultimately affecting the way we show up in the world. And so if we're going to constantly engage in self-deprecation and engage in negative self-talk, not only are we feeding our subconscious mind the notion that we are not good enough, we're also chipping away at whatever self-worth and self-confidence we currently have. And as a result, our actions are going to only reflect that low self-confidence and low self-worth. Other ways in which we engage in self-sabotaging behavior is finding faults in others and picking fights with our loved ones. This is a really interesting one. I was actually having this conversation with a dear client of mine who's dating this guy, and he's a great guy. But at the same time, she noticed that she was self-sabotaging by trying to pick a fight with him. And I'm so happy that she was able to be so self-aware and notice that. But when we aren't used to a certain level of love, or we don't feel like we deserve the kind of love that is being presented in our lives, and this could be either romantic or platonic, we subconsciously, we push it away. And that's why, rather than allow ourselves to fully appreciate and embrace the love that's in front of us, we'll find our way nitpicking and trying to find something wrong with the other person, or find some reason why they're doing something wrong. And what happens is that we ruin something that could be a perfectly amazing relationship. And as a result, we end up feeling disappointed with our circumstances. And why it really comes down to, why are we not allowing ourselves to fully appreciate and embrace the love that's in front of us? If you are somebody who's lost weight in the past and you find yourself that you keep losing and gaining the same weight, that is, again, another form of self-sabotaging behavior, is when you lose a bunch of weight and then you find yourself binging when you reach a new low in terms of the number on the scales. And it's because, again, you're venturing into unfamiliar territory. Is if you've never been, let's say, at a certain weight, every time you almost get to that weight, you find a reason to binge or to go off the rails. And it's, again, unfamiliar territory. And it's really about, at that point, doing what it takes to create a sense of safety and stability within yourself so that your ego, so that your brain doesn't feel threatened. It doesn't feel like it needs to trigger that self-sabotaging behavior to keep you safe, because it already knows that you are safe. Even passive aggression, that's another way in which we self-sabotage, because again, it stems from not allowing ourselves to communicate in a healthy manner. And when we aren't communicating in a healthy manner, we say things which don't reflect our truest nature. And we also say things which are hugely offensive and push people who mean the world to us away. Even if you're somebody who's ever been wrapped up in a TV show, you might have experienced the one more episode syndrome at night. And again, sleep is so vital for our well-being. It's so vital for our nervous system. And when we are constantly finding reasons to stay up at night rather than engage in a behavior that's going to actually help us feel and operate our best, in other words, sleep, then one more episode syndrome, when that becomes a regular habit, again, you're self-sabotaging yourself the next day. Even in the morning when your alarm goes off, if you find yourself constantly snoozing, redefine it. You can either say, oh, I've always been someone who snoozes, or you can realize that that's urge to snooze, and actually every time you give in to that urge to snooze, all you are doing is self-sabotaging yourself, because you're wasting precious time that could be used towards creating your life. And also, you are weakening your discipline muscle. And thirdly, you are also, like I said, chipping away at your self-confidence muscle and that trust in yourself to actually get up and get on with your day. Another huge way in which we self-sabotage, and this is a common one I've noticed with a lot of conversations I've had with clients lately, is waiting, that urge to where you're waiting for the shoe to drop. So things are going really well in your life, but rather than fully immerse yourself in that joy and happiness, it's almost like you're forecasting something negative to happen. And so there's a part of your brain that's thinking, uh-oh, it's just a matter of time until something goes wrong, or it's too good to be true, or something feels off. And it's you residing in a state of paranoia, expecting the worst case scenario. And that expectation for the worst case scenario is exactly what draws in something negative. And so it's really about saying, why am I using my imagination to focus on an outcome that doesn't exist? Because here's the thing, that the worst case scenario, it's in reality that doesn't exist. And so is the best case scenario. And you got to decide, what do I want to use my imagination to? And I'll tell you something, and if you are focusing on the best case scenario, that is how you propel yourself forward. But again, if you're going to allow yourself to entertain the worst case scenario, all you are doing, honey, is sabotaging yourself. Another way in which we self-sabotage ourselves is the way we spend our money. And it's interesting because, especially when you're in the manifestation space and you realize that, okay, I need to be abundant with my money in order to attract more abundance. But there's a huge difference between feeling abundant around money and also spending your money frivolously. And a lot of times when you have that urge to spend your money frivolously, and so you're not really thinking, you're not really like paying attention to how you're spending your money, you're just blowing it at every opportunity, it's because there, again, you're venturing into unfamiliar territory. And so when you're experiencing a new level of wealth, it feels so foreign that it's almost as a way for your mind to feel safe again, to retract to that sense of that financial sense of security that you've always been accustomed to. It projects behaviors to get rid of that money to bring you back to where you've always been in terms of your financial thermostat. And also making assumptions and overthinking rather than just allowing yourself to communicate in a healthy manner is a way we self-sabotage. You know, we spend so much of our time making up stories in our mind or creating, creating notions or you know, creating stories around what the other person is thinking. And all we are doing is creating a narrative that doesn't exist, creating a mental distress for ourselves. And as a result, that mental distress is what we project onto the other person. And in the process, we deteriorate what could be a perfectly amazing relationship. And speaking of relationships, is another way in which we do self-sabotage is when we aren't allowing ourselves to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is one of the core foundations of any healthy relationship. If you want to create a healthy, meaningful, and authentic relationship, you need to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You need to allow yourself to let your guard down. But when you are constantly walking around with a wall, all you are doing is pushing away the other person, and you're not allowing a healthy, amazing, meaningful, authentic relationship to breathe into existence. Because again, is that every relationship requires two people to let their guard down. And when it comes to manifestation, or if you want to change the way you speak about it, when it comes to creating the life that you want, the reality is that no matter how badly you want something, it is your energy that is creating. And essentially, it is your actions that determine what manifests. So many of us are sending our mixed vibrations to the universe, and then we wonder why our lives are either not reflecting the outcomes that we want or why we are attracting in unwanted circumstances. And it's because of the mixed vibrations that we are sending out. So on one hand, you are saying you want to experience better, but then your actions are reflecting something completely different. And that action, if you're constantly engaging in self-sabotaging behavior, but you keep saying how you want more for yourself, well, it's that self-sabotaging behavior that is fueled by low self-confidence and low self-worth, which is manifesting more. And so even though every outcome you want to manifest is something you place a high value on, but if you're operating from a place of low self-worth and not feeling good enough, not feeling deserving, and your actions are reflecting that subconscious disempowering belief, that is what you manifest on, because you manifest on your state of being, not what you want or what you hope for. And again, if your self-sabotaging behavior is coming from a place of not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy, fear, self-doubt, not believing in yourself, not trusting, that is all your life will mirror back to, because your life is nothing more than a mirror reflection of your internal state. And so it's almost like that chicken or egg situation. What came first, the self-sabotaging behavior or the underlying belief? And while your underlying beliefs, your subconscious beliefs fuel your behavior, but your behaviors also fuel and add more momentum to those beliefs. And so it's about now saying, okay, in order for me to change all that, I got to create new beliefs. I got to create new narratives that actually align with the version of me that I want to step into, who is actually acting in a way that serves me. And secondly, is that now I got to hold myself accountable and say, what kind of actions do I need to take in order to change the way in which I perceive myself? And this is exactly why working on your self-concept is so important. And when I say self-concept, that is nothing more than the way you perceive yourself. And again, how do you change your self-concept and your perception of yourself? It is by doing this deep internal work. Because when you can dive in and say, and really take a deep audit and assess, what are the insecurities I'm holding on to? What are the limiting narratives, the toxic habits that I'm engaging in, the emotional baggage, the doubts, what are the fears? What am I currently holding on to? And I can either continue letting them run the show, or now I can get back in the driving seat of my life and create better for myself. Because if you want to create a new reality, you got to reverse engineer and realize that, okay, in order for me to create better outcomes, I need to change myself internally. Because when I change myself internally, I'm naturally going to engage in new behaviors. And those new behaviors is essentially what is going to create the new results. And although the Master Your Manifestations Accelerator has already started, and if you are in the Master Your Manifestation Accelerator, I hope you are excited to be working on eliminating these blocks and self-sabotaging behaviors once and for all. But if you are somebody who was not able to get into the MMA this round, and you are ready to do the deep internal work that is required to help unblock you from moving forward, to help you get rid of the resistance which has been preventing you from seeing your desires manifest and unfold, Then I do have a couple of coaching spots open for my one-on-one private coaching program, Uplevel Your Life, which is an 8-week program. You can head to the show notes for more details, and there's also a link to apply. And in the meanwhile, I'm sending you love and all the abundant vibes. Have a super day ahead.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fit and Fulfilled podcast. If you have an extra minute, I'd so appreciate if you could head over to iTunes and leave this podcast a 5-star review. In doing so, it helps other people receive this message so they can also go to the next level in their wellness journey. I'd love to connect with you, so please let me know what your biggest takeaways are in this episode and tag me on Instagram at kushboo.kway in your social media post, or DM me to help me serve you better and create more content that you can resonate with. I'll see you next week, but in the meanwhile, I'm sending you so much love and good vibes.